The way of Jesus is the way of wisdom. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. The way of Jesus is the way of suffering and death and resurrection. There's no other way, for there's no other Savior. Anything else, everything else, is but a Trojan horse, promising one thing and delivering the opposite. A ravenous wolf lurking in sheep's clothing. The way of Jesus isn't the way of man, the way of everything else. The way of man, man's wisdom goes another way, his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray, we turned everyone to his own way, Isaiah tells us. Truth is, we really don't go our own way, we go every man's way. Thinking it's our own way, all the while deluding ourselves into thinking that we're independent, isolated, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps kinds of people. We go where we think we should be going, and we walk the path that we think right, for as the writer of Proverbs says, there is a path that seems right to a man, but in the end, that way leads to death. But really, we go the way of all those who have gone before us, the way of Adam. We go that way because it feels good. We go that way because that way is quickly rewarded. We go that way because we get accolades for it. We go that way because that way gets us attention. We go that way because it's Adam's way, it's our way, and we stray. But we go the way of Adam not because we're intent on imitating him. If Adam's influence on us boils down to nothing but imitation, then his fall shouldn't be that much of a problem. For then, with the right information, bad influences can be avoided, destructive habits can be overcome, ruinous choices can be reversed, and finally, if all we're doing is imitating the first stray sheep, then all we really need to do is dig down deep inside of ourselves, take a deep breath, make a 180-degree turn, and change our ways. But Adam's influence on us is far more pernicious. The fall has become our common heritage, not just because we all imitate Adam to one degree or another, but because we all inherit the fall. The fall, the truth is, collectively, we are all guilty. Of course, that's not a popular thing to say, that we all suffer a collective shared guilt in Adam. Collective guilt isn't a popular concept these days, unless, of course, it suits the political elites to charge disfavored groups with some collective crime like it's all their fault, blaming all the Germans today for the atrocities of the Nazis, blaming all whites for Wounded Knee and slavery and inequality and on and so forth. Adam's fallen, straying ways are credited to our account as ours. We've inherited and made it our own a lack of fear and trust in God. And the end of the game is destruction. And proof that it's collective guilt is that we all suffer the consequence that comes along with it. We all suffer from death. Isaiah says it this way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're like ancient Israel during the days of the judges. Each of us does what we consider to be right in our own eyes. And then instead of following our good shepherd, we turn and run away. And in the end, we find ourselves stranded on the edges of life's precipice, falling prey to hungry wolves, and having to fend for ourselves in all the no-win situations and scenarios of life, all while we're on our way to the big no-win situation at the end. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah says it like it is. And straying sheep are hopeless sheep. Stray sheep are ripe for the pickings. Stray sheep have told their shepherd they know better than the shepherd. And their knowing better has become their demise. And for our iniquity, we deserve exactly what's coming to us. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. With those words, into the face of certain disaster, Isaiah throws the gospel. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On whom? On him, on Jesus. And what has been laid across his back? The iniquity of us all, every last transgression, every last rebellion, the Lord has laid on him our sin. We stray sheep are not alone. Jesus too was a stray. At least that's what his contemporaries thought of him, the one who truly never strayed, who never strayed from the will of his father like Adam did before him, who never conformed to the expectations of his contemporaries. But because he didn't comply, the world foolishly considered him to be the stray, the black sheep of the family. And as the black sheep of the family of man, the unblemished, perfect Lamb of God is sacrificed. For there is one role for unblemished sheep in Scripture, and that is to serve as a sacrifice. Remember when Abraham had his son Isaac on the altar, his knife poised to kill. It was a ram, because a ram would do if you didn't have a lamb. It was a ram of a lamb caught in a thicket that provided the sacrifice instead in Isaac's place. Remember the 10 plagues of Egypt and the Lord's rescue of his people. It was a lamb slaughtered, its blood painted on the doorpost of the house that saved all the firstborn from death. The lamb, a substitute for the firstborn. And it was a lamb that made up the morning and evening sacrifices and offerings at the tabernacle and later the temple in Jerusalem. Lambs were for sacrifice. And sacrifice was for the taking away of sin. It happened first in the Garden of Eden, where after Adam sins, he and his wife hide themselves behind fig leaves and bushes. The Lord finds him, exposes their naked shame, hands out curses, and the first blessing of the first gospel promise. And then there's the first death in all creation. The Lord finds an animal innocent of sin and kills it in order to make clothes for Adam and Eve, covering up their guilt and shame. And from that point on, all the sacrifices in the Old Covenant are a preaching of the coming Lamb of God, the Messiah, who would himself die for the forgiveness of sins. So when the people looked at that altar in the courtyard of the temple, and they saw on it the broken, bloody body of a bull or a lamb or a goat, they were to think, that should be me up there. But God be praised. He accepts another's death in my place to give me life. That's what all the worship in the Old Testament puts before our eyes. The fact that sin deserves death, and yet in the place of the sinner, the Lord will mercifully accept the death of another and set the sinner free. And so, as Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is the ultimate promise of the Lord's Lamb, the one who would bear upon himself all of our sins and iniquities, who would be consumed by the wrath of God, who would bleed a scarlet flood to make us white as snow. And that's exactly what happens because of Jesus, because he took your sins as his, because he credited his righteousness to you, Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And that's how God sees you. You've been cleansed, washed clean in the waters of your baptisms, cleansed by the forgiveness of your sins, declared righteous by the Father who sees you clothed in the robes of another, who sees you clothed in the righteousness of His Son. Here is the temple. Here is the sacrifice. Here is the incense and the prayers, the robes and the altars. Here is the holy priesthood. Here is the blood that you have been waiting for. The scapegoat driven into the wilderness of God's wrath with all of our sins placed upon Him. Here is the one whom God will forsake and destroy instead of forsaking and destroying you. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And you are saved now and forever in Jesus. Amen.